You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday. The Ides of March have arrived. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and Matty Modiga in yet another day on a Wednesday. I'm Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, happy Ides of March.
It's just another day, another donut. Let's get this done.
Another donut. Interesting. I'll tell you about donuts in a couple of moments. Corey, what's up with you?
Yo, what's your deal, Sussman? What's the deal with them getting myself together over
you
here?
You are. What is it? You got a band? What are you, McDonald's in that bag?
No. I wish it was some Mickey D's in here. Actually, I didn't eat last night either. I had to do a better job at that.
That's not good. You got to eat.
Yeah, I just be running so much. You know, it's always
you had
something.
You had a busy day yesterday.
Always, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. What is going on? All right, you good now?
I'm plugging up. You want me to talk?
Oh, I don't know. You're just making a lot of noise.
Oh, well, Greg, you be all right.
I'll be fine. It's just, you know,
I just want to make sure I get myself good and set up. Look at the microphone. Not even there. You go.
Happy now?
There you go. I feel better. I got to plug in my computer. Talk to Matt while I plug in my computer.
I'm just waiting for you, man. Just a lot of noise coming from that side of the room.
Greg, I got to plug up. You know what I'm saying? I can't get all this good information without no computer. I just don't have it stashed in my head. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, some of us do. Like Matt and myself. Matty, I went to the Knick game last night.
Oh, boy.
How'd that turn out?
They won.
Oh, that's nice.
I guess. Yeah. You know, because it's like you go in there, like, I don't want them to win. I want them to lose. Like, there's nothing good that comes after winning for this team, and then but you're there, and it's very hard to root for them to lose. Like,
yeah, you can't.
Yeah, no, you want to see a team win. I understand what you're saying. As for next year, you don't want to see them win anymore.
No, I don't want to see them win. Like, there's nothing help. Like, I watched Kristaps Porzingis get hurt, and I'm like, this isn't good. And then I found myself rooting for them. Like, even I was with my buddy that I'm playing in a quarterfinal match in our fantasy basketball league.
Oh, that's cool.
And he had all the Knicks on his team. Like, Derrick Rose, Porzingis, Carmelo, that's his team. And yesterday, only, I think, a five-game slate in the NBA. And he is got three of his four players that are playing are all Knicks. So I'm sitting there with him. He's raising for the Knicks score. I'm just like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cool.
He made it all the way to the semis with a bunch of Knicks on his team?
Quarters.
Yeah, the quarters.
That's crazy. He actually made a big trade. He made a big trade for Kevin Durant that worked out poorly for him.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No.
But, wow.
Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, so the Knick game, we had really good seats. It was really fun. So I went with my girlfriend and my buddy who I'm playing in the quarterfinals with, and his girlfriend. And so we go there, and we get there. We game starts. After the first quarter, we go get some food, which was great. So then we eat the food. We're at halftime. Start watching the game, second half, and the dancing and the t-shirts and the lights and all that stuff. And Knicks went up winning, played some really good defense. It was good. It was a good game. So all of a sudden, like, my girlfriend goes, and she was just like, you know, whatever, I don't care about baseball.
Yeah,
she likes baseball. She just came to just hang out. Like, you know, wanted to go, whatever. She goes, that was really fun. I'm like, yeah, like, I thought you didn't even like Knick games. She goes, no, I love Knick games. What now? I go, why? She goes, well, there's multiple reasons. I go, what?
I'm curious.
Number one. 2 hours, very manageable.
Yeah.
It's very, very manageable. I'm used to baseball, which is 3 hours plus. I'm used to football, 3 hours plus. This was 2 hours. You know, you get there at 7:30, you're done by 9:30, 9:45, no big deal. All right, that's fair. She goes, two, I feel like I barely had to watch the game. I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, you think about this, like, if I had to just sit and watch the game, I would probably get bored. And here, I got here. And then when I was getting a little bored, you know, I wound up, I wound up going to something to eat. And then I ate, and I finished what I was eating, and then I was ready to watch the game again. And I got a little bored, and all the dancers came out, they started throwing t-shirts into the crowd.
Which is so small market to me.
Well, of course. And then I wanted to watch the game again. And then by the time I was getting ready to get bored, game over. Yeah. It was a great experience. She goes, you know, I felt like bougie at Madison Square Garden. There's celebrities on Celebrity Row. The celebrities being, of course, Ice Cube and Everlast.
Oh, Ice Cube was there last night.
Ice Cube in the house last night.
I wonder what he was doing in town.
He was in town.
Promoting the film or something? Has he got a movie coming out?
He
has that league, right?
Well, I know he had a movie with Kevin Hart come out recently.
Another one?
Recently he did.
Oh, recently. Okay, I don't think he's promoting that no more.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I showed that clip on the screen.
They got, don't he have that bat, that 3-on-3 league he's setting up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's had something to do with it.
He was just sitting hanging out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Adam Pally, he's an actor. He was there. Everlast, the actor from House of Pain.
Yeah, House of Pain. Yeah. Jump around.
He looked very old.
He's washed up.
Real washed up.
Sorry to hear that.
He got a big ovation. Phil was in the house.
Phil Jackson.
In the house, in his seats. Lord. You know exactly.
Did he get a big ovation? Ooh.
They don't, you suck,
Phil.
They don't show Phil in the crowd.
No, they shouldn't.
No, they don't. They don't show Phil in the crowd. He actually has his seat, right? His whole section was like empty.
Yeah.
And he had his. Oh boy, Israel just let up some runs.
Oh boy.
He had his seat. He had nobody. He has like an empty seat next to him, and then another guy that he was talking to all game.
Yeah.
I was like across the way from Phil.
So you was able to see him though.
Oh, I saw him
you
sitting
got a
there.
Good look right in
and
his
I'm
face.
Like, I'm thinking, and I'm sitting there, like hearing people cheer as the Knicks do well. And I'm thinking, like, is all he's watching to see if they're doing the triangles? You think it's all he cares
probably
about?
Probably so.
And I'm like, yeah.
Probably so.
Did Charles Oakley make his return?
No. No, I didn't see. I didn't see Sir Charles there. I didn't see Charles Oakley there, or Charles Barkley, or Charles Smith. No Charleses.
I don't like Charles
Smith. Jamal Charles wasn't there either.
I'll never forgive.
Nobody's
Charles
ever
Smith.
Going to forgive Charles Smith. If you're of age and you're a New York Knicks fan, you can never forgive Charles Smith.
And who was also there? Bilal Powell in the house.
Oh, really? Bilal Powell came to check out some action at MSG last night on a snow day.
Bilal Powell was in the house. So that was the first part of my night. That was the Knick part. Then after, we had our first game of the season. Oh, boy, Israel let up another run. First game of the season of Spring Baking Championship.
This is where you lose people at, Greg.
What? Well, I don't understand. Why would I lose people? I'm trying to incorporate everybody.
I know, but I get it. I get it. The Spring Baking Championship. Well, you said this is game one?
This was the first episode.
Okay, so what happened? Let's get into this.
Now, let's talk to Matt, because Matt wasn't here for Holiday Baking Championship.
Explain to Matt.
Now, Matt, you can play fantasy anything, right? Like, you play a lot of fantasy baseball, obviously. You draft every night. You got your fantasy football, of course. We hear about fantasy movie leagues. Fantasy Bachelor, very popular, of course. That ended on Monday night. So, a lot of popular fantasy sports. And, again, my girlfriend, you know, not really into sports. Not really her thing, but she watches because it's obviously my thing. Well, she's a big, and maybe your wife is as well, big Food Network fan. Like, will live and die by the Food Network. She can sit and watch it 24 hours a day. Of course, now she watches a lot of the news. I prefer not to play fantasy news because, like, right? Okay. Yeah, I feel like I never win.
I'm about to say it's rigged.
It's crooked.
Yep.
So instead, we watch the Food Network, and we wound up, my friends also wound up watching this show, which was called the Spring Baking Championship, where it starts with 9 bakers, and they all bake one thing, and they bake a second thing, and eventually one gets eliminated. So we gave out some points, so we created a fantasy Spring Baking Championship, or Holiday Baking, depending on, you know, what season it is. And the first episode was last night. Now, my girlfriend has won 2 years in a row, and what you win, the four of us, you know, get in a pool, you win a free dinner. So, in this free dinner, she has won now twice. Each person gets 2 participants. You watch the first episode to see, you know, to see what the competition looks like. Then you make your selections, you draft. And she has won 2 years in a row. So I'm determined to beat her here in season number, this is the third time we're doing this. So season 3, we'll call it. It's like season 6 of the show. Now hosted by former New York Giant Jesse Palmer.
Look at that.
Right?
Look at Jesse.
And he is his first time hosting it. Paula Deen's son formerly hosted it, Bobby. And
oh, I remember Bobby.
Bobby Deen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Jesse Palmer's hosting it, and it's the first time, and he gets up the first minute of the first episode, and Judy goes, holy shit. I'm like, what? She goes, this guy's too good looking for the show.
I know, you're like, jeez.
And I'm like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
like, you're not wrong. Like, yeah, good looking guy. And like, there's some good looking people on the show now this year for some reason. But I got to tell you, I've watched it now, let's say three seasons here, Matt. These are the worst bakers I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
They're horrible this year.
It's a bad feel, huh?
Absolutely horrible. They're all like, I'm looking at people finishing like third or fourth last year that are so much better than every one of these people. They're terrible. So my draft was very, very hard. Like, normally you walk out of there like, all right, I know I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this girl, whatever. I didn't want any of these people on my team. I'm trying to make it, Corey.
Yeah, no, I feel you. So what are you going to do about this? So,
well, I had a draft, and I got
so
draft's
listen,
over.
Did y'all do, so y'all made the picks. How many bakers is on your squad? You just get one for the whole show?
We get two.
Okay, you get two. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you tier the bakers?
Nope.
So they just...
There's eight bakers. You have a little snake draft, up and down, boom, done.
So you, but how do you do research for this?
You watch the first episode.
So the draft is not till after the first episode.
Because it starts with nine bakers, and we're four people, you want an even number.
Okay.
So you watch the first episode, you get a feel for the personalities, you get a feel for how good or bad of a baker they are.
Yeah.
And make your decision.
Okay. So you're basically trying to avoid the weakest link.
Goodbye. Well, basically, so what happens is how you receive points. There's what is called a preheat, and they all do like a preliminary challenge. And they do a final challenge. You get points if you win the preliminary challenge. You lose points if you come in the bottom two of the final challenge, and then eventually someone gets voted off, and you need people to survive, of course, for quite a while. All you do is you just want people to survive. You just need your guys to stay in the competition.
Who'd you end up with?
So my competitors this year are Fausto Carmona.
Carmona?
Not really. It's not Fausto Carmona.
I was about to say, you had me there for a second.
Just the guy named Fausto. Just the guy named Fausto.
Fausto.
I'm going with Fausto and Daniela.
You got Fausto.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to see if I can find some information on Fausto. Mm-hmm. Spring break and spring baking. Spring baking.
Yeah. Fausto and Daniela are my crew this year. Yeah.
Thank you.
I feel like I got some steals in the draft, honestly.
You only got two players, though, Greg.
Well, yeah. But, like, you know, snake-wise, I feel like Daniela would be my third pick. I got her at the second last pick of the draft, Corey.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I went in with rankings, of course.
Yeah, Fausto's got some really good BABIP.
Thank you. I agree. So anyway, that was my night.
I want to see these people.
Guys, that was my night last night. A big fantasy night, clearly. Matt, how was your night? Did you do some drafts?
I did not do any drafts. Doing some work on my website.
Which we can find where?
CTNBaseball.com.
There you go. CTNBaseball.com.
Just doing that and getting all ready for next week. Next week is going to be so huge. Thursday will be a lot of fun, though. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I don't want to jump everything, so.
Thursday I'm very excited for. That's tomorrow. We're going to talk about the tournament in just a second. Corey, what was your night last night, man?
I kicked it. I laid low. Had Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico won in the background.
Dominican, the run is over, huh?
Yeah, the run finished. You know what I mean? Sad night in the neighborhood. But it was snowing last night, so it wasn't that many people out. The snow was despicable uptown. So had that on in the background. The phone was ringing all night, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Got a little bit of stuff done, so. I would say overall pretty satisfied. You know, I got some things I'm working on right now. So, you know, it's telephone and the game on in the background. Yacht Molina doing work for Puerto Rico. So that's kind of what I did. Now I'm looking at Daniela. Do you have Daniela?
I got Daniela. Yeah,
I like this tattoo.
You're into the tattoo? I like this tattoo. I'm not really a tattoo guy.
Yeah.
I'm not really
I like the glasses too.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is nice.
Check out Courtney. Courtney's my girl.
She's a little cutie.
I don't own Courtney on my team, but I'd like to own her. Boom.
Courtney is the girl from Massachusetts. Courtney looks good. Like that. What's up, baby? Oh, look at this. They got a black dude. What's his name?
He was eliminated.
Already? Oh, man. Oh, no, this is your boy. Your boy. Oh, is this
Fausto?
This is Fausto. I thought Fausto. Okay.
No. Mark, who is the black dude, was eliminated before the draft.
So, oh, boy.
That doesn't sound right, Corey.
Yeah, I don't know. What's up with that, Matt? You know what I'm saying? You get to make one appearance, and then that's it. So, Fausto, okay. So, Fausto's from L.A.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He's Mexican. Okay. All right, bet. So I see your players, Fausto and Daniela.
Yeah.
And then you got right here Heather Walker from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's cool.
Yep.
John Reed from Samung, New Jersey. This guy looks like a math teacher.
That's Jonathan?
Yeah.
He was the first overall pick in the draft.
Really? This guy right here was the first pick?
Yeah. Good looking dude, right?
No, this get right. This guy right here.
Oh no, no, no! He's the last pick in the draft.
He's the last. Yeah, because he's not gonna make it long. He doesn't look. He doesn't have it.
Yeah, he's the last pick in the draft.
Oh, this is Jordan.
He was the first pick in the draft.
Somebody's girlfriend probably picked Jordan, right?
That was Judy. Yeah.
First. All right, Jordan. All right. So where's Jordan from?
I'm not sure.
Jordan from Florida.
Yeah, he looks like he's from Florida, right?
Yeah, Yeah, Florida guy right here. Then next is the black dude, Mark Haywood Washington. Oh, he's from Charleston. He's from Chucktown. How about that? Shout out to the Chuck.
What up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Chucktown. You know, I went to South Carolina State.
Of course I know.
I know a lot of people from Charleston.
Yeah.
And then this is sister right here. Samira. Samira. She's from Philadelphia.
Now, Samira's story is she has carpal tunnel in both of her arms.
She's got something on her arms.
She's in both of her, like, his hands or whatever, so she wears these braces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I didn't want to say anything because I was assuming.
So. Yeah. So her signature dishes are sweet potato cheesecake, cinnamon rolls, orange cake, and vanilla chai donuts. This right here, she might have a little heat with her. You know what I mean? She could be a fan favorite. Why didn't you draft her, Greg?
I didn't get a chance to. Because Fausto was my pick, and Samira never got back to me.
Okay, so this little Courtney's a little short thing. All right. So this is the crew right here, and Jesse Palmer is the host of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you do well.
You check it out?
Greg, that's asking a lot. I'll definitely, I would like weekly updates to know how the league is doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to get into it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot going on,
Sure.
But this looks intriguing. And Mark is going already, huh?
Mark's done.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn Russians.
Yeah, they hacked it.
I'm going to go with Courtney on the cute factor.
Yeah.
Courtney's a little shorty. Yeah, I like that.
That'll work.
Oh, okay. So this is on Food Network.
Yeah,
okay.
Check it out. Sunday nights. Boom.
So very good. Good, Greg. I wish you the best in this competition right here.
Thank you very much.
If you need some help, you let me know.
Well, you're a fantasy executive. It doesn't matter just what sport.
Yeah, I'm a tout war, so.
I know.
It means I'm, like, smart. You feel what I'm saying?
It means you're one of the 15 greatest baseball minds.
Yes, exactly.
In the history of the game.
Of mankind,
absolutely.
Yes. I was raised by Lenny Melnick.
When we come back after that.
That's your boy.
When we come back, I do want to get into what's going on tomorrow. A little March Madness action, including the pool that Corey and I are both in, kind of separately, but a similar style. Matt, we'll get your take. I know you're ramping up for the games tomorrow. And we'll get your take and your opinion because you're a totally unbiased and objective here. Let's get into a little March Madness on the other side of the break. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, gentlemen, March Madness just... Well, I shouldn't say today, because it started last night. What did you check out? Any of the two games last night?
No, I did not. Like I said, I was deep into the site, and then I did catch the last three innings of the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico.
All right, there you go. Mount St. Mary's got by New Orleans last night, 67-66. They all go on to face Nova, I believe. Yeah, they got Nova, Little Lake and Heroics. One of the guys on, I believe it was New Orleans, like, started choking his teammate. So he got his ass on the bench for the rest. He was actually pretty well. Then he got put on the bench because he started choking his own teammate. Latrell's like, it was like not just like a playful thing. Like, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Mount St. Mary's is always a fun team to watch, though.
Yeah,
I think so. They always got those guys that can pop those threes.
I don't know when I watch Mount St. Mary's.
They're a team that makes a tournament every now and then.
All right.
They're a fun little team, I think.
All right. Kansas State defeated Wake Forest 95-88, almost got to 100, did Bruce Weber's squad. And Kansas State will go on to face Cincinnati on Thursday. Kansas State... a team that lost to the University of Maryland this year, that's kind of my knowledge on them, were led with 24 points for Wesley Wundu, 24-7-6 for Wundu last night, 22 points from Kamau Stokes, while you had 18 points from DJ Johnson to lead the way. I know it was Wundu that really played well against Maryland early in the year, while Kamau Stokes was their main guard, certainly.
So should Syracuse have gotten that spot instead of Wake?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think Syracuse deserved to be there, personally. I'm also sick of all the Syracuse people saying, Now, Florio, Mike Florio, you were a monster Syracuse fan, producer Mike Florio. You have complained a little bit. Do you believe after last night's showing by the Demon Deacons, the Orange should have played in that game?
I mean, I didn't watch the game. I'm not going to say like I watched and broke it down, but Syracuse should be in this. I think, and they should have been in a play-in game or something. But I understand. Why? Because they had six.
Because they're coached by Jim Boeheim.
No, they had 3 wins against top 10 programs and 6 wins against the top 50.
What about the losses?
They had some horrible losses.
What about the road losses where they couldn't win?
They had some bad losses, but a lot of them were real early in the season. They've changed their. They've made adjustments and changed their lineup and such. Similar to what they did last year. Remember, they had a horrible start last year. Obviously, they got discredited because there was no Jim Boeheim. But I don't know. I feel like they made a lot of adjustments later in the year. They've proven they could hang with some of these big boys, and I think they would have made some noise. I don't think they would have done anything like last year. They easily could have been bounced in the first round. They suck away from home, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I don't feel bad for Syracuse. I told you because you had their chance. You lost your opening game in the ACC tournament. Like, I'm sorry. You had your chance. Win a neutral court against a team that's an 8 seed here, and you get in.
Yeah, what were they, 2-11 away from the carry?
I believe that was the record.
I believe that's correct as well.
So, there you go. I don't feel bad, Mike Florio. I just wanted to bring you on to put you down.
Thank you. They were 69 out of 68, so...
So, did they win their...
They were just there.
Did they play UNC Greensboro yet?
No, that game got postponed to tonight because of the bad weather.
Are you excited?
No, it's the NIT.
Indiana lost.
So, is Syracuse the number one seed in the NIT?
Probably not.
Yes.
They are.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, she's number 69.
And they got trolled.
Consolation prize.
And they got trolled, as we talked about on Monday's show, facing UNC Greensboro in the first round after Boeheim killed Greensboro.
That's crazy.
So now Cincinnati, as I said, faces Kansas State, which kind of leads me to our next discussion. And March Madness is amazing. Of course, the pools are incredibly fun. But Corey and I both, a little bit separately, playing these pools, Matt, which is called Survivor March Madness. And, of course, you're familiar with Survivor football, where you pick one team. You can't pick the same team twice. All they got to do is win. Spread involved, nothing like that. You just got to win. And I do it in baseball, where you really like this as a big baseball fan, in that I pick one team a week that they have to win half of their games. They play 6 games, 3, 7 games, 4. Half their games, can't choose the same team twice. All they got to do is win half their games. Pretty interesting, right? So March Madness, similar rules. Pick one team a day. First 2 days of the tournament, you have to pick 2 teams. So you pick essentially 1 or 2 teams a day. All they got to do is win. But you can't use them twice. So if you pick a team too good, it goes to the Final Four, you know, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, you lost them.
So that's where I have found myself most exhilarated, that's a word again, in the NCAA tournament, is rooting for this my one team a day and try to root against everybody else and major upsets. And this is where, as long as it's not my one team, like, I root for every upset. Like, in your bracket, like, you don't want these big teams to go down because you probably have them going far.
Yeah.
In my pool, I want them all to go down as long as I don't have them.
Yeah. No doubt. That's how you play the game.
So I found myself in total love with this pool. So you guys are my best friends, of course, besides, you know, my Florio and Frank Stanford, which you can hear.
You got a lot of best friends.
I do. Which you can hear at 1 o'clock today, Fantasy Best Friends forever and ever and ever and ever. And I wanted to ask your advice on who you guys would take tomorrow, Thursday, day one of the NCAA tournament.
No doubt. Tonight you got the 2 first 4 games tonight?
Mm-hmm, 2 more first 4.
North Carolina Central plays tonight. Okay. Some MEAC school.
You going to be watching that?
I'm going to check it out. So I went, you know, before we get into that, I went, sure. Or maybe we can do this later, Greg.
Whatever
I
you
went
want.
Through this summer. I went to see if they had, at North Carolina Central, had any famous alumni.
Okay.
You know, some people that people might know.
Yeah.
So Sam Jones, remember, played for the Celtics back in the day? You remember Sam Jones? Nobody? No?
I do.
All right, man. He went to North Carolina Central. How about that? Nobody's impressed with that. Kim Coles. Remember the actress Kim Coles, Living Single? No?
I do.
All right. Nobody's still nothing. Eddie Long, who just passed away. Passed to Eddie Long. No? All right. This is getting awkward. Sunshine Anderson. Heard it all before? You know? No? All right. This one right here. Everybody's going to know this person right here, though. Coach Boone. Herman Boone.
Herman Boone!
Herman Boone. How about
really?
That? Herman Boone is
Herman
a graduate
Boone,
of North Carolina Central University.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, I love to remember the title.
Love it. Herman Boone.
Herman Boone.
Coach Yosko there, too?
No. Herman Boone, the coach of T.C. Williams High School.
Sure.
Yeah, it's what you know from... Remember the Titans? Yeah.
Yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah, Denzel Washington played Herman Boone. Herman Boone is a graduate of North Carolina Central.
How about that?
Look at that right there. And that's really it. The only person you guys knew was Herman Boone.
Mm. He's famous. I like the movie.
Oh, the movie's very good. Yeah, but how about that? Coach Boone.
Coach Boone.
Take that, Coach Boone.
Then I'm going to gain another yard.
Yeah, you will run laps till you are no longer hungry or thirsty or tired.
Shout out. Give me that ball, Petey.
Shout out to NC Central and Coach Herman Boone.
You gonna watch? You watching the game tonight?
It'll be on.
All right, good.
And who the base? I want to see what the baseball is tonight, too, though.
I believe USA, Venezuela.
The USA's tonight, huh?
King Felix is on the mound.
Oh, so. Boy.
If USA does not win, I'll be very disappointed.
They should blow him up, right?
I don't know. He hasn't been looking too hot for me. Mm. But then again, I'm really not excited about Felix.
The USA has Drew Smiley pitching for them, though.
Oh, my Lord.
That's true.
They couldn't get nobody else?
Well, I think Archer went back to the Rays for this week.
Yeah, okay.
I think he said he'd come back next week if they make the next round.
Okay. So then, where's Clayton Kershaw?
Clayton Kershaw's in Arizona.
Spring training.
He's at Camelback Ranch.
Yeah, that's what the Dodgers spring training is called? You ever been there?
Yeah. Well, I've been there in November. Okay. During, like, the Arizona Fall League.
You went out there?
I think we're having a conversation.
No. We're setting up tonight, and then we'll talk about this. We got the first four out the way. We got the baseball out the way, right? So with all of this being said, Greg, now we get to this NCAA tournament. Now, you have to pick two teams on Thursday and two teams on Friday?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't have to pick two until I think I have to, in my pool, I have to nail two on the Sweet 16 days.
That's harder.
I know.
That's harder.
I know.
Because now I have so many teams to choose from.
Yeah, no, and this is a good look right here. Now, the one that jumps out at me right off the top is Notre Dame.
You like Notre Dame in day one.
Yep, I like Notre Dame in day one. Okay. I like Notre Dame in day one over Princeton.
So that's 12-5 matchup.
It's a 12-5 matchup.
Princeton's had a really good year.
Princeton has always been very tough in the tournament.
Yep.
I think Notre Dame has enough to outlast them. No, I think Notre Dame, this is preliminary. Notre Dame looks interesting to me, and so does West Virginia. But I might sneakily like West Virginia in the next round, too.
So, Matt, where are you leaning in day one if you had to choose?
So, now, if I had to choose, this would change my philosophy from the other day where I was going with 12 seeds and stuff like that.
Of course. So you have a little bit of fun here. Now you're just trying to survive.
I'd probably go Maryland. Let's go, Terps. Let's get the victory.
Are you out of your damn mind?
You going to put that kind of pressure on
me? Are you going to put that kind of pressure on me? Okay, true story. So last year in this tournament, I was away, Corey. Remember, I was in Spain.
Yeah, that's when it started. Yeah,
that's where it all started. And so I have a buddy my partner and I would do the games together. We do this pool together, and I have this Wi-Fi in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So I'm texting over Wi-Fi, and we picked our teams in the first round, two on Thursday, two Friday, and Maryland played Friday. And we're gonna just take Maryland. Like, they're playing some crap school. I forget who it was. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. And all of a sudden, the team Maryland was going to play in the second round, they were a 4 or 5 seed. That other one lost. They lost to Hawaii. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is Maryland's going to go to the Sweet 16. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I go to my buddy, I'm like, should we be saving Maryland now to beat Hawaii? He goes, absolutely. I go, okay. So we pick another team, we advance. So then Sunday night, at like 9 o'clock in the second round, is Maryland's game against Hawaii. And this last year, we had two picks, and we went all in on Maryland. We put both our tournament lives on the line with the stupid Maryland Terrapins.
Yeah.
And they get down like 10 early.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing stuff.
No, you were back in the States.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
I am screaming my head off, and wound up winning. I went nuts.
Good job.
And then I lost. But nevertheless, we survived. And if you can just make it to the second weekend of this tournament, like, it's just an amazing feeling. So you would go with one of your two picks for Thursday. You would pick Maryland because you're confident against them, against Xavier, Matt, and you're confident they'll lose in the second round.
I don't have them going that far, so I would take them here. Like you said, this changes everything, the way it's presented to me. You want to save the better teams, the higher seeds. So I got to start picking off. The Princeton-Notre Dame game, I would stay away. Yeah. West Virginia one I like better.
So I like West Virginia. West Virginia is one of my favorites, I would say, for tomorrow. Because I think West Virginia can get by Bucknell. I think Notre Dame, theoretically, we give West Virginia a bit of a problem. Because you want your team to win that first day and then immediately lose. Like, that's the goal. That's if everything goes right. So I like West Virginia tomorrow. That's one of the picks that I'm leaning toward taking.
I kind of agree.
Okay, so that's one.
Yeah. Maryland's at the Amway Center.
In Orlando.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
sir. The other day, you were pretty high on a 12th seed, Middle Tennessee.
I am.
Would you be interested in them over Minnesota? Because everybody seems to think Minnesota's overrated five.
That's,
we shouldn't have done.
Right. That's tough in the survivor pool to roll a sleeper out there just like that.
I just don't see a reason to do it. Like, I still like Middle Tennessee State. If I were to bet on the game, if gambling were legal, I would bet on Middle Tennessee State, right?
Yeah.
But it's not legal.
Of course it's not.
It's legal in certain states. Las Vegas.
And so I'm not doing that. But I do like Middle Tennessee State. So I'm going to West Virginia, and like the best strategy, and I've done this pool for now 4 years, I think. The best strategy really would be to take an 8-9. If you could figure out that right 8-9, because theoretically they would then lose to the number one seed in the next round. Like, if you get an 8-9, they'll lose to Nova or Kansas or UNC or Gonzaga, theoretically. But then an 8-9 game, of course, two evenly matched teams.
Northwestern?
My partner really wants to take Northwestern. He really likes Northwestern. I kind of like Wisconsin a bunch. I think Wisconsin over Va Tech is something I'm in on.
What about Arkansas?
Maybe? Like, I don't know. I don't really know much about Arkansas.
You'll sweat that one out, yeah.
Yeah. So I like Wisconsin. I like Michigan State against Miami because Tom Izzo like probably won't lose in the first round again. It's kind of my logic there.
That makes
sense.
That
logic.
Yeah, the Izzo one, Michigan State and Miami's, but those Jim Larranega is not
correct.
A slouch either, and
correct.
He is taking teams deep into the tournament also.
Certainly, and then like I feel like if Michigan State like wins in the first round, like I feel like they'll just beat Kansas in the second round. That'd be a disaster for me.
that could definitely
right? Like, can you see that? So like,
no doubt.
All these things go through my mind before I make a pick. So right now, I've kind of leaned on West Virginia, as we just said, and I kind of like Butler tomorrow. The Butler Bulldogs, 4 seed against Winthrop. What do you guys think?
I knew a girl that went to Winthrop one time.
So that's not good for us, huh?
Nah, she
I do like
good.
Butler, but I don't know. I kind of want to save Butler. I mean, I
for what? Because like, if you think they're going to lose to North Carolina,
well, I think they're going to win that game. And you can only take them at one time. So, yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. That seems like the layup game right there.
I hope so. I mean, you look at spreads, and you look at what games have the highest spreads that theoretically should be easy, but it doesn't always work out like that. Like, obviously, people like Baylor as a pick tomorrow, I believe, playing New Mexico State. With the winner facing SMU, theoretically. And so people really like Baylor as a potential pick. They've knocked me out in the first round before. I know people have talked about Virginia and Florida as picks. Playing UNC Wilmington, playing East Tennessee, rather. So a lot of picks. Anything else interest you guys?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati plays Friday.
Oh, so you need one for tomorrow,
I like Cincinnati, though.
Yeah.
I like Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think it's between the West Virginia,
okay.
Maryland, okay. Or Butler.
We got to take 2 out of 3. So you think two out of those three?
I mean, that seems to make the most sense to me right now. You have to have 2 tomorrow, right?
Yeah. So we have to have 2 tomorrow. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So those are your three. Can I get you to pick, Corey?
I like West Virginia.
Okay.
Like I'm down with the West Virginia thing. I'm in on West Virginia, so I go that route with you. I think that's a good call right there. I'm on. Let me see what else we got over here. We need 2 out of 3.
No, you need one more. If you give me West Virginia, we all agree on West Virginia. You need one more team that's got to win. That's all I need. All you got to do is win.
What do you like better, Butler or?
Well, let him decide his own thing. Let him decide his own. Yeah. I guess I could take like. No,
yeah, Butler. I think it is West Virginia and Butler.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's West Virginia and Butler.
All right, there you go. If you lose, I'm going to kill you. All right, we'll come back.
Thanks.
We'll come back. We'll talk more. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is a Wednesday. one day away from the tournament. It was weird. I was coming back to Nicky last night, and I'm walking in the snow, and I'm walking home, and I'm like, man, it does not feel like Tuesday night here. Because, you know, come back from a basketball game, you're walking in the city, and like, I know a lot of people had days off yesterday, and they go back to work today. And it feels like it was like a Sunday night. And that tomorrow is a tournament. And even though, like, we're working, like, well, at least we're working in a place where there's all these TVs. And I feel like tomorrow and Friday, like, aren't even work. You get on the radio, you talk about college basketball, you talk about the baseball and the football. Not that it never feels like work. And you just sit here and watch games. Like, whew, I am so excited, Matt.
Life is good.
Life is really damn good. Life's also good for Eddie Lacy.
That's the perfect, I mean, that was for Seattle, for the one-year deal. I mean, supposedly, I was reading reports that at one of his stops, he weighed in at like
267. Yeah.
So, obviously, now it's the offseason, but I think for the way Pete Carroll, as I mentioned yesterday, uses the big back, he should be a touchdown machine, and I assume Thomas Rawls is on his way out.
Yeah, Thomas, do you think he's either, like, hurt again or something else is going on? Because they've done everything they can to replace this guy this year.
I mean, that's kind of, I have to have some sort of thought of that in my mind. There's got to be something, or they just don't like him. I mean, that's the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that, like, because they're all about him last year. Mm-hmm. Talking him up. I guess they were not impressed, and that's why they go sign Eddie Lacy in the mold of a kind of Marshawn Lynch type of thing. And they said Pete Carroll kind of leaked out that they're okay with him in the 240s. So lose like 20 pounds or so. They're cool with that.
I think that's something he should be able to accomplish. I mean, this is a big year for him. He took the one-year deal. He wants to get paid. So, and he's in, for me, a perfect system for him. As we said, you know, Pete Carroll and the big back seems to be a recipe for success.
Lindell White. At USC.
I understand. Mm-hmm. So you're saying CJ ProSize is Reggie Bush?
Did CJ ProSize cheat?
Maybe.
I don't know. No, he had a pretty decent college career.
All right.
Notre Dame.
So, like, if that's what you're comparing it to. The USC days with Lendell White and Reggie Bush. Shouldn't we as fantasy owners be excited about CJ ProSize?
I think CJ ProSize will have a role, especially in the PPR format. That's where you're going to be going after him and stuff. So, I mean, he flashed enough for me this year that I'm still interested. I don't think Eddie Lacy is going to be, you know, getting 30 touches or something crazy like that. It's going to be dispersed. I think Eddie Lacy is going to be the goal line guy. He's going to get you to touchdown, so he's going to have that high value just because of that alone.
First and second down, the guy can still, you know, Jake broke down some interesting numbers yesterday. The guy can still play. He's just a big back. And injuries have been plaguing him. So we're thinking if he can get on the field and give you 13, 14 games, you could see some decent numbers. I'll be honest with you, I'm not in on him. Maybe if he's laying out there in the fifth or sixth round, you know, as a guy that, you know, I could put on my bench. I don't want him in my starting lineup. That's like this. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm rolling out a team and Eddie Lacy's in my lineup. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I want him as depth. If I get him, I want him as depth. And I he'll be quick to be cut if there's any problems.
Are you going to be able to get that, though? Because people
don't know. But see, here's the thing, Greg. People don't like him.
They don't like him, but it only takes one guy in the draft to be like, you know what? This is a good fit. This is a good spot. He lost weight. He looks good. I can see this. This works for me. You only need one in the draft.
Yeah, I'm not paying up, but if he's there at a reasonable price, just on the touchdown factor alone, I mean, touchdowns are king. That's 6 points you're getting there. So I do like him for that. I think that's the situation. And Pete Carroll, like we say, likes the big back. He uses them correctly, in my opinion.
He does, and Eddie Lacy's going to be given every opportunity, Corey, to score touchdowns in this offense. What is different for Eddie Lacy than...
See, I don't know about that.
Okay.
You still got Graham, which obviously he's a monster red zone target that's looked to take him away. But Russell Wilson they're very creative next to the goal line. Russell Wilson, you see little Russell Wilson with a lot of rushing touchdowns. So Russell Wilson can get some of that work also. So I don't think it's a lot that Eddie Lacy is going to be the goal line back. Now, don't get me wrong, it very well could be, but I don't want to say going into 2017, Eddie Lacy's going to be the goal line back attached to this big, great offense in Seattle. Remember what they always said about Eddie Lacy in Green Bay? Oh, there's a Green Bay, got a great offense. Eddie Lacy be able to punch in these touchdowns. It never happened. Having 1 year, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to overrate Lacy. I want to encourage others not to do so, because we still haven't. He can play, but he can't stay on the field. Number one, number two, it's just
yeah. But
there's so many pieces, moving pieces in this backfield that I'm kind of turned off to it. If we see where Rawls is gone altogether, then I can jump in on Lacy a little bit more. But I don't think Rawls is just going to go away.
I'm going on the assumption that Rawls does go away, okay, either via trade or whatever. And I'm looking at the Eddie Lacy value for me is if, say, I'm doing a zero running back and Eddie Lacy has fallen, because I think a lot of people are pretty much fed up with Eddie Lacy.
Sure.
Been burned time and time again. So he's a guy that I think will have value if I'm waiting and if I'm correct that he does fall.
I think there's always going to be someone, and again, this is March. We're drafting in August, most people. And you know, obviously, Corey's taking place in the draft already. But to me, Eddie Lacy is this guy that people are going to see as an opportunity to bounce back. They're going to look at it like, wow, now that he's in Seattle, he's going to show up to camp in the best shape of his life. You know that. Best shape of his life in quotations, of course. This is a running offense. This is an offense that I understand they passed the ball more than ever last year. But that's not the style they want to run. It's not what Daryl Bevel wants to do. And they're going to say, well, you know, in Green Bay all those years, it was always Aaron Rodgers' show. It was all about the passing attack. And it was all about this explosive offense. In Seattle, they're going to want to run the ball. Eddie Lacy is the primary benefactor of that. He's going to rush on first and second down. He's going to get all the red zone targets. And people are going to talk themselves into Eddie Lacy, draft him. You don't want him starting on day one. People will draft him as an RB2 ready to start on day one. Ooh. 100% they will.
He won't be on my team.
People will draft him without question as a top 24 running back. I don't think it's going to be close, Corey.
See, okay, drafting him as a top 24 running back and me having him as a running back on my bench is different.
Clearly.
Yeah, so what I'm saying to you, he still can go in that top 24 and he can still end up on one of my teams. It's highly unlikely. The thing about it is I'm not even considering Eddie Lacy till around 6-7. He's not going to be there more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, I got to break it all down, look at everything. Right now I'm so deep into baseball mode.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
But I have to check everything out. I think he could possibly be a value. I could be wrong. Like you're saying, Greg, people could be talking themselves into him, going with that mode. I'm right now going on the basis that people have been burned enough. Eddie Lacy's looking pretty large right now. So maybe in 2 months when he's lost that 20 pounds or so, and like you said, best shape of his life, things change.
I don't see. I'm looking at a draft board right here. Now, In this league, Rawls went in the fifth. Eddie Lacy hadn't signed yet. So let's say you take that fifth round, you take Lacy and put him in that fifth round where Rawls goes at, that's not enough for me.
He went in the fifth round?
Rawls went in the fifth.
Which is where they, okay.
So let's just say, now with this news break, let's say Eddie Lacy would likely go around this area right here. Yeah,
sure.
In this spot right here.
Yep.
No.
Not doing it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Someone's going to. There's no question about it.
Now, I think that was a severe error on whoever was drafting right there. You knew somebody was going to Seattle. It's been all the talk about running back, Seattle.
But I totally agree. But I want to take it from Corey's side of things. Like, people are going to draft Eddie Lacy in the fifth round. Like, they're going to draft, let's say, a wide receiver, running back, boom. Let me get another running back here.
I'll tell you, two running backs. I can name, okay, I'd rather have Isaiah Crowell hands down than Eddie Lacy.
You love Isaiah Crowell.
Because he can play. People sleep on him. He can play. I'd rather have Ty Montgomery over Eddie Lacy. We figure out if they don't bring nobody in there. Even if they do bring somebody in there, I would be intrigued with Ty Montgomery as a running back, too. I would rather. We got to see where the rookies go, obviously. See how their situation shake out. Let me ask you this. C.J. Anderson or Eddie Lacy?
I'm going to go C.J. Anderson right now.
Greg?
I know it's me. I think I go Eddie Lacy.
Then you go Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go right
Someone's
there.
Someone's going to do it, I'm telling you. Before we hit the break, would you rather go with Eddie Lacy or CJ ProSize, Matt?
I'm probably going to go Lacy just because I'm going to go with the touchdowns and stuff like that. So I'm going to go Lacy for now.
I would go Lacy. It's unlikely I have either one. I would go Lacy for now. The way it stands right here on the eyes of March, I would go Lacy. But it's just I just value other backs, and I'm willing to take shots on other backs before I am with Lacy. For example, I would take a crack at Amir Abdullah.
Why are you doing that?
He gets a healthy year in his belt. I think he puts up a good season.
It just doesn't seem worth it. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it.
Well, the other signing is exciting in PPR world, I think.
The other signing is exciting in PPR world. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Well done, Matt. We'll talk. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And as Matt alluded to just a couple of moments ago, the Eddie Lacy signing made all the headlines. It was the big news yesterday. But it wasn't the only running back signing. It wasn't one of these Jamaal Charles or Adrian Petersons that finally signed. It was Rex Burkhead, the third string running back on Cincinnati that got that had to step up in the absences of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. And where did Rex Burkhead go? New England, because the rich have to get richer, man.
Yeah, I think Rex Burkhead is a sneaky good little player that...
Are you Danny Woodhead for them?
He could possibly be. I mean, they got Deion Lewis, who, when healthy, is just phenomenal, fun to watch. You got the James White. You got Rex Burkhead, who, like with Eddie Lacy, and like with football, it's all about the system. And, you know, you got Bill Belichick. They sign people for a reason. They have a plan. So he's somebody that I'm going to be monitoring.
Rex Burkhead, Corey, what does he do for you?
Nah, it's a situation that I think I'll be able to get on. I think Rex Burkhead can play, first and foremost. He has a fantasy skill set. He can catch the football. He runs well. Not a lot of tread on his tires. So Rex Burkhead is a player that I can get behind. I think you might be able to get a pretty good discount on him on draft day. The one I'm in, obviously, he went as soon as he, you know, signed yesterday, and that was later on in the draft. I say Rex Burkhead, especially players in New England, are always going to get bumped up because everybody always expects greatness, as well they should. But I would take him over some of these beat-up Peterson-type Charles guys. I would take him over them. I'd take him over a guy like Doug Martin. I'd probably put him in... I put him in like a 9-10 range around where Bilal Powell would be at.
There's just a lot of backs here in New England to feed, right? Like you mentioned Deion Lewis. James White obviously exists as well.
Deion Lewis would be hurt at some point.
Probably so. So like all three of those guys kind of play a similar role in the offense. And like I don't know if LeGarrette Blount will be back. I kind of assume he still will be for some reason. They still need a bigger back.
If LeGarrette Blount is back, then I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now, it's very interesting, in my opinion. Like you said, you got to see how it shakes out.
Absolutely.
But he's somebody I would definitely be having
the signing I like is a situation that I do think you definitely watch it because it could be some little sneaky fantasy value. Is he going to come in and be a key piece? Sort of like LeGarrette Blount was this past year. LeGarrette Blount's on a lot of championship teams this past year. I don't know if he can do that, but put it like this. At some point during the season, if Rex Burkhead is on your team, you're going to be like, I'm glad I got Rex Burkhead. It might be 3 or 4 weeks. It could be 10 or 12 weeks. But at some point during the season, if you are Rex Burkhead on it, you're going to be like, whoo, I'm glad I got this guy. I could pop him right in here, and he's not going to let me down. He can get you about 11 to 14 points in the PPR per game.
But doesn't this seem like somebody that will be a sexy pick, Matt, during draft season? Like, oh, Rex Burkhead, he's a Patriot, like Julian Edelman, like Deion Lewis, like James White. And, like, there's going to be games that he has nothing for you.
Yes, I mean, I think, like you say, like Corey mentioned, too, with the Patriots, that sexy cachet. But due to the fact right now that there's Deion Lewis there, there's James White, until there's further development, a little more breakdown, I don't think people are going to be too high up on him, but I definitely agree with Corey said. At some point in the season, you're going to be like, damn, I'm happy I got this guy on my team, and he could pay a major dividend. I mean, look what Parcells has done.
Belichick.
I mean,
Parcells
is back.
Okay, this is how Rex Burkhead would likely play out. If you were in on Chris Hogan last year, Rex Burkhead is the wide receiver version. I mean, it's the running back version of that. So a guy that's going to be hit or miss, he's going to sit. His playing time could be up and down, obviously, as a New England back. But at times during the season last year, if you had Chris Hogan, you were like, I'm glad I got Chris Hogan. That's the same way that Rex Burkhead had to play out, except he's a running back.
So I agree with that. Like, there's times this year that you, but like, number one, you never knew when to play Chris Hogan. The only time I ever wanted to play him was against Buffalo, right? In the revenge game, seriously. And revenge game, ring the bell, please. And the fact is, Chris Hogan in my league, all of my leagues, Corey, drop picked up. And that's what Rex Burkhead will be. Because you'll never be a guy that you're going to want to just hold on to your team all year because he can explode. It's just like, it's going to be a what if. That's it. And that's the problem here. All right. Hour number one is done. Hour number two comes your way next. Special guest coming up at 9:15 Eastern time. A lot of baseball coming your way. 9 o'clock hour. Stick around. It is the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Experts in the Morning is live right now here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, he is the fantasy executive. Matty Modiga, he is here. CTM Baseball as well. Derek Pearson will join us 9:15 a.m. Eastern time. Number one dynasty, according to his Twitter account, of course.
Number one what?
Number one dynasty fantasy football earnings for number two fantasy football world player ranking at Scout. National Fantasy Football Championship Platinum Champion, National Fantasy Baseball Champion, and National Fantasy Football Champion Ultimate Champion.
He took down a couple leagues, you know what I'm saying? He's a decent player. Sometimes I think he can get a little bit too big for his britches.
Well, you can tell him that at 9:15.
He's a good player. He's a good multi-sport player.
I feel like Matt's going to give some props and Corey's lying.
No, I'm giving him props.
You got to prove it to these.
I'm giving him props too. I'm quite sure me and Derek have been in places together where we have squared off.
Would you say you run in the same circles?
Yeah, we run in the same circles. I've taken down some impressive things too. Sometimes I think Derek gets a little bit too big for his britches, so it'd be nice to get him on today and see what he's talking about. See, you know, listen, it's easy to have Twitter fingers, you know what I'm saying? But when the lights go hot and you're talking to the fantasy executive, you know, that intimidates people sometimes. So we'll see if Twitter fingers is up to it.
Twitter fingers. I can't wait to talk to him.
Twitter fingers.
This is going to be an interesting conversation at 9:15.
It really is. 9:15 Eastern time. Let's get into some baseball, though, from yesterday right now, guys.
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
And your boy Kevin Kiermaier is about to be a rich man, Modiga.
Yeah.
He must have heard you. You must have been his agent yesterday on the radio.
I think that's a fantastic signing by the Rays for the fact that...
I love Kevin Kiermaier.
It's $53 million over the next 6 years. They're doing the smart thing. They're locking him up. Look at the guy in Chicago who's supposedly, you know, the defensive specialist. He's got $180 million on the open market.
Jason Hayward.
Kevin Kiermaier is better than Jason Hayward. I'll fight that argument all day long. And
but he doesn't look as pretty with a bat.
He looks pretty with the
just saying.
Jason Hayward looks like he looked like he can hit 200 home runs in one season. That's what he looked like, Jason Hayward. Yeah, you know, he's Dick Vitale's all airport team. They look good getting off the plane.
Damn good.
Mm-hmm.
With a mace. So Kevin Kiermaier signed a monster extension with the Rays yesterday. Now there are also some really interesting pitching performances yesterday. Like we talked about some of these bigger guys the day before, like Carlos Carrasco, for instance, who saw the doctor. He's going to have swelling in his elbow, which scares the hell out of me, Modiga. Like,
yeah, that's frightening.
Yeah, that's a scary one. So we're gonna I'm gonna pass on that for now. But some of these guys that pitched yesterday, like we talked about Contreras. We talked about Carrasco yesterday, so I didn't want to talk about it again. But I did want to talk about like Patrick Corbin. Right, Corbin threw five scoreless innings yesterday against Texas. He struck out of five, walked none, and gave up one hit. Patrick Corbin, if he's in this Diamondbacks rotation, I know we talked a lot about like Shelby Miller, Zach Greinke, but if Patrick Corbin makes his rotation, is there fantasy value?
He's somebody that I will definitely have on my watch list in deeper 15-team leagues. He's possibly rosterable. I really liked Patrick Corbin last year. Coming into the season, I really liked him. It did not work out well. So he's not a guy that I'm going to totally write off. I'm going to watch the next 2 weeks of spring training, next two weeks plus. Keep him on, you know, on the radar. He's a guy right now that, you know, you want to see good things, and yesterday was a good step forward.
Let me ask you this, Matt. When you're talking about you want to watch him, continue to watch him in spring training, how do you, when you're evaluating players in the spring, exactly like what are you looking for? How are you doing it? Are you looking at box scores? Are you watching games? Are you watching, what does Scott call them, in-depth highlights? extensive highlights.
I'll try and catch some game action if
okay,
I can.
Yeah, you got like at the MLB at bat or something like
I
that.
I have the MLB,
and they have all the spring training games.
MLB TV.
Yeah,
you know, I'll watch MLB Network if it's on. I'm home.
Yeah,
but box scores generally, because you know so much is going on.
Yeah, no doubt,
stuff.
I feel you.
But the things like the things I'm going to be looking at that are most important is velo.
Okay.
God, is
no, it's fine. It's
and,
fine.
You know, like yesterday, walks versus strikeouts.
Yep.
That's going to be a very telling thing. And for Corbin,
yesterday was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a big plus. The guy we talked about yesterday, James Paxton, went another four impressive innings. I believe he had like five strikeouts. I think he's got an 11-1 ratio this spring over nine innings. I don't care if he's got like a 4 ERA or whatever that may be, but you know. So those are the things I'm looking at. Those are the encouragements. Like, why are we all scared off now about Zach Greinke? A lot of us were pretty intrigued with Zach Greinke, pretty hyped, but...
Velo.
The velo, bro.
So I think Patrick Corbin, much like James Paxton, interesting. Both these guys, still pretty young. As you said, Paxton, you said this yesterday, like only 28 years old, and Corbin's still young, too. He was a pretty good pitcher before his surgery, and he came back, and he struggled. He's a guy that I'm excited. I'm excited about because he had talent. We've seen the talent. And if he's healthy, fully healthy, he could be a nice bargain for you on draft day.
Yes, I totally agree. He'll be a guy that's going to be very late. You can scoop up. This is a big spring for Patrick Corbin because there was talk about him possibly becoming a relief pitcher.
Yep.
And I do see if he was a reliever, he could be a shutdown guy for a short period of time. So, I mean, I believe he wants to be a starter. And if he steps it up, wins that spot, you know, good things can happen.
He's had TJ already, right?
Yes.
So last season was his first season back after the TJ?
Was it first or second?
I think he came back the year prior at the very end.
That was the first. You know, okay, so it was the first full season.
Yeah, I believe he got a few, got some innings under his belt.
So I see. No,
but
I see.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I see in 2015 he started 16 games in 2015.
Okay, yeah.
And then last year he started 24 games.
It was like I said, I was last year. Patrick Corbin was a guy like Drew Smyly. I kind of liked last year too. So those were two lefties that let me down.
You like left-handed pitchers?
I mean, it depends on the skill. I like skill set.
Yeah.
What I try and do, that's why I like, remember we had the argument a couple weeks back. I like to look at the leaderboards and go down that. Because if you take the names away from people, sometimes you have biases. I mean, you just can't help it. I try very hard not to, because you can miss opportunities that way. But if you do leaderboards, you look at skills, I'm a guy that's going to buy skills.
Okay, because I think it might have been one of these analysts we were talking to, not here, probably when your mothership, was saying that when he does his rankings, it's just like he's just looking at the numbers. He don't even want to look at the player name.
Well, makes sense.
Yeah, because the player name, it puts bias to it. You feel what I mean? So that is a good point too, right there. So that's interesting. So Patrick Corbin. Okay.
Just the name that I want to throw in the back there. That's all.
Yeah,
I want
to do.
No,
I love it.
Corbin.
I love it.
Okay,
you like it. I love it.
All right. continuing on with the pitching, I'm going to save the injuries for when we talk to Derek, because like, I think the updates on Carlos Carrasco weren't good yesterday. The updates on Jason Kipnis were not good yesterday.
He was making some news yesterday.
So I want to save that. I want to save that for Derek and kind of talk about some of the guys that are playing well. Obviously, Matt mentioned James Paxton, who we talked about yesterday's show, went out and performed really, really well. One pitcher that did not perform really, really well yesterday, who having a pretty nice spring, was Lucas Giolito.
Oh, man. He got beat down.
He got bombed yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean, for as far as Giolito goes, I believe, you know, he's going to start in the minors. Let him, I'm sure they're working on some things right now. So I think the spring all about him is just getting comfortable, getting his, getting everything
down. Getting that velo up.
It's the velo, yes, but it's more about the repetition. It's more about the repetition for him, getting comfortable with his delivery. Because as happened last year with Washington, they were kind of like finagling with that. And I think that was something that kind of hurt him. So I'm a big Don Cooper fan. I think he's in the right spot. The White Sox are notoriously aggressive with the young pitchers. Look at Chris Sale. Look at Carlos Rodon. So I think he's coming up sooner than later. But I think a good month in the minors or so, or you know maybe two, will help him further.
Hey, but so let me ask you this, though. You don't think, like, when you get beat down like that, a young pitcher getting just lit up in the spring, you don't think that his confidence is kind of like, man, you know what? Maybe I can't do this.
No, I don't think in the spring. And I think he's going to have the opportunity. I think as far as what in this situation, this is a kid that's going to go down to the minors. And he should have success to rebuild up any. I don't think it's confidence yet. Maybe they told him, we want you to work on this today.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
And that's what happens a lot, too, in spring training when you see these guys getting blown up.
Yeah.
They're trying out pitches or they're trying to get this secondary pitch to, you know,
pop. And then they just, like, they go out so, there yeah, and they throw it. It's not working. So it's like an experiment almost.
But also, too, when you're in Arizona with the dry air, sometimes it's tough to get grips on, you know, say your curveball or something. So you're not going to have the same results.
Okay. You sweat.
I understand.
No, sweat on the ball.
Sweat.
So then you throw it might slip out your hand or something like that. Hey, you know who's been doing good? Matt Shoemaker.
Matt Shoemaker is a steal. Mm-hmm. He is a steal. To me, he's a top 40 pitcher. He's going, I think, past 200.
Still. I love Matt Shoemaker.
So he's a guy that, look, he took a long drive.
I know, I was worried about that.
He took a long drive, but look, he's pitching right now. I'm not really worried about it. It was like Chapman last year, where people. But the year that he got hurt, remember he got the thing, and everybody was worried. Could he do it? You know, unless the guy shows you that he has some fear in him, then I would say okay. But otherwise, you know, this is what these guys love to do. This is what these guys know how to do. So
if it was me, I would have to take the thing to the mound with me. They're using batting practice, the little thing.
Net.
I would have to take that to the mound with me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, hey, I'm not saying it's not scary, but.
But they're pros. They get paid, you know.
Shoemaker is, in my opinion, one of the better values in the starting pitcher market.
I like that.
What about Ian Kennedy? Kennedy, 3 1/3 scoreless innings yesterday.
Ian Kennedy is someone who will get you to strikeouts. I like that he's still with the Royals. I like him in Kauffman Stadium. It will suppress the home run issue that he has. On the road last year, I believe he gave up like 21 home runs.
Oh, boy.
So he's a guy that's going to give up the long ball. But
you can play him in DFS.
Pitching his home games.
Play against him in DFS.
Yeah, I mean, on the road, it's going to be a little different because he's going to be susceptible to that long ball. But Kauffman Stadium will suppress the long ball, which will help his game. He's a guy that will strike out a batter per inning.
Yeah,
so, I mean, these are guys you need. He's going to give you innings. You know, as you go through the draft, it's not about drafting, say, Tyler Glasnow and getting that sexy name. It's about getting a guy like Ian Kennedy who isn't going to be fantastic for your team, but he's going to give you innings. He's going to give you strikeouts.
He's not going to kill you.
And the ERA shouldn't kill you. I mean, he has posted some, say, 440 ERAs in the day. But, I mean, if he posts anything below 4, that's a win.
Should we care, Modica, about the Cubs' fifth starter?
Oh, I think absolutely.
Because I believe it's a bit of an under-the-radar spot right now between Brett Anderson and Mike Montgomery. They're fighting for this fifth spot. Now, there's been rumors that Joe Maddon is just going to split up between the two of them. So Brett Anderson, of course, major injury problems throughout his career. Montgomery, mostly a reliever last year, actually struggled when he's in the starting rotation, really succeeded or thrived, I want to say, in the bullpen. Who do we want to win this competition?
I don't think it's even close. We want Mike Montgomery to win it. And even if I see on Roster Resource they had the fifth starter as Brett Anderson, I'm still drafting Mike Montgomery. Brett Anderson will get hurt at some point. I mean, he's a guy that's well past his prime. Montgomery is very interesting. Anybody that's pitching for the Cubs is an interesting pitcher that you want to be monitoring. So I'm going to draft Montgomery regardless. He's the guy that I'm hoping wins it, and even if he doesn't, I don't have the faith that Brett Anderson can hold up.
All right, there you have it. There you have it from Matty Mo. We have a lot more baseball coming up throughout the program today. I do want to get to other pitchers like Sean Manaeo pitched yesterday, Rich Hill pitched yesterday, Jonathan Gray pitched yesterday. So a lot of intriguing starters pitched yesterday. We'll get Modiga's thoughts on that. But coming up next, Derek Pearson will join the program. Follow him at MustSeeTV314. Measure is 316 because, you know, 316 means. Derek Pearson next, Red Experts in the Morning. We're back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica is here. Corey Parson, of course, is here as well. He's the fantasy executive.
Yep.
But now we are joined by Derek Pearson, Isaiah's player. Good morning, Derek. Thanks for joining the program.
Boys, what's up?
DP, what's going on, my man?
What's up, DP?
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Alrighty. Now, Derek, I was kind of saving this to talk to you about it because, you know, I don't know what to do when it comes to drafting a guy like Carlos Carrasco right now. He got bombed in his last outing. He's got elbow soreness. If I have a draft this week or this weekend, when would you draft Carlos Carrasco?
Well, probably not where he's been going in the fifth round. He's been going a lot of times at the tail end of the at the five. So you got guys there that if you really want a starter, you've got guys that Seamart and Hendricks and Tanaka and DeGrom's not falling there anymore. But I wouldn't certainly be taking him there and probably be laying off of him for a few more rounds after that.
Corey, fantasy executive, I know you're talking a lot about Derek here.
DP, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Corey, man, what's going on, brother?
Trying to make it, you know what I'm saying? It ain't easy being the, you know, it ain't easy being the best, but, you know, I do the best I can. Derek, I think the last time we spoke, you told me that you was getting out the season-long game and you was going straight DFS.
Yeah, for football, I did that last year. Wanted to run it back to see if I could... how I could do in that space with everything that was going on. So
yeah,
took a break from season-long football last year and really did played the Thunderdome every week.
Okay.
And then tried to do the qualifiers. So see, I wanted to see how we could do.
How did it work out for you?
I did qualifiers, you know, chased those and burned some cash. But
yeah, it can be tough with those qualifiers.
I think that happened to a lot of folks.
Yep, exactly. Those are like...
But, you know, get to the big shows where you need to be to try to get that big score with all the money out there. But I had a positive ROI in the Thunderdome over 15 weeks. So
okay.
I guess that wasn't anything to sneeze at playing first year.
I missed you over there and you know, in the season-long field because, you know, I was knocking them down last year. I guess maybe you took a break and allowed me to do that, but I was taking them in last year. So I miss you because, you know, I had some, you know, I took down some stiff competition, some of your buddies, so I just was wondering if you would be back in this year because, you know, you got to get some too.
Oh yeah, I'm not out forever, so sometimes you got to take a shot and see what's going on in another space, but I'll be back.
All right.
Hey, Derek, it's Matt. I got two questions for you that you can maybe
yes,
people
sir.
Out here. I've noticed from what I've seen on Twitter with your drafts and drafting against you last week with Vlad, you've gone with the heavy on the two aces early, which I'm a fan of myself. But the other thing I've noticed you doing, you've gone with the two catcher strategy early, the I should say the two elite catcher strategy, like, say, a Posey and a Lucroy. So maybe you want to explain to the people how that's an advantage for everyone?
Yeah, so really, you know, I had a lot of success doing a two-ace strategy back in 2012. I placed really fairly high in the NFBC online tournament that year, and really it was all about the way that I viewed the market, essentially the draft market when it was being done. I just felt like taking some aces early was an advantage because they were there, and I felt that there was hitting later that could compensate for really being strong in that area. So this year, I've kind of, in analyzing drafts and analyzing player values, I've kind of come to a similar conclusion, not in every draft, but the way most of those drafts are going, the market just presents itself an opportunity to load up on a couple aces and then kind of make the rest of the draft work with guys that still give you solid power and speed and average later on. So, you know, that's the way it is right now. I can't say that it'll be that way next week. The market is certainly evolving. I see a big difference in a draft today compared to middle of February. So we'll see how it goes. But biggest reason, I guess, to answer it in a summary is just the way the market presents itself in a draft. I just feel it lends a good opportunity to do that. So kind of the same thing with the catchers. You know, I'm a big proponent of if the masses get on a groupthink of, oh, punt catcher, you know, catchers don't matter, you know, and everybody starts doing it, then what that does is it allows guys like Posey, Sanchez, Lucroy, Realmuto, you know, guys like that, Contreras, to fall. And I think they fall to you and present an opportunity to build with those guys in good spots. And then at the end, when five or six other teams that have punted catchers are trying to get their catchers, you don't have to sit there and fight over the Cameron Rupps and Austin Hedges and Mesorakos of the world that you just really don't know what you're going to get. And now that Tom Murphy's out, you know, that pool is going to be even thinner. So it's about market efficiency and kind of reading that correctly.
I totally agree with your summarization of that. And like you said, once you get past the first few catchers, it gets really bad and the return isn't there. So loading up on a Posey and a Lucroy does give you a severe advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's useful, you know. You can be strong, kind of the same spot with those aces. You can be real strong when other teams are going to be a little bit weaker there, and you know, in leagues you look for any edge that you can get, and I just believe that's been one so far this draft season.
Can I ask a question? I'm looking at you.
No.
Beat Jason Collette from this past weekend.
Okay.
I see you took Paul Goldschmidt at number 5. Do you have any power concerns, any speed concerns? I know the manager. I mean, I've been an AJ Pollock guy. Unfortunately, he got hurt running around the bases on a home run. But the manager isn't a big proponent of stealing. So should I be concerned about A.J. Pollock or a Paul Goldschmidt going forward?
You know, I'll believe it when I see it. With both of those guys, I try not to worry too much about that because bottom line is I don't know. And I'm speculating. I mean, I know we all are when we talk about that stuff. But I got enough to worry about trying to figure out, you know, draft strategy and grind waivers and keep my finger on the pulse of the player pool. So while it is a concern, I'm not worried about it too much. I those guys both have the talent to run, and that's what really is important to me. They have the upside there to run if they do have the opportunity. So, you know, whether it's, he's not going to steal 30 again or whatever he stole last year, but, you know, between 10 and 15 is fine, and then my first round pick is essentially a guy that can fill all five categories, which I really like in formats like this.
Hey, DP, let me ask you a question. I know you do a lot of leagues, NFBC, stuff like that, high-stakes player, whatever. What do you think about industry expert leagues? You know, these leagues like Tout Wars and Labor and stuff like that. When you look at these draft results, what's some of your opinions on how the experts play it as opposed to how the expert player plays it?
That's something that I think about once in a while. I don't know exactly how those leagues are run because, really, I've never been very close to them. So. Okay. I do see the draft now. I don't know if there's, you know, how it is, man. I mean, if a league's worth $25 and you've got leagues that you're competing in where you're trying to win $1,400 or more, you know, where are you going to spend your time? And I almost feel like some of the industry stuff, if it goes bad by June or July, you know, those folks, hey, there's no money at stake. Let's spend time preparing for fantasy football season or something like that. So, it interests me really how the dynamics work, and maybe you can enlighten me a little bit. And over 27 weeks, I mean, are all those teams grinding fab each week? Are they making sure their lineups are set? I mean, because you know as well as I do, it's a 7-month season. Yep. So, you know, I kind of look past the results and really, really wonder how the dynamics of those leagues work all year when stakes are kind of minimal and folks might lose interest.
Now, with that, I would say I think it does become a grind, and obviously a good portion of the industry come football season, you know, if they're kind of out of it, you'll start to see people fall out the race, and, you know, the cream rises to the top. That, you know, nothing against Adam Ronis, but what I'm saying is that could be a part of his thing where if he's going to grind out till October 3rd, and you're going to stop at July 7th, then obviously he has a better chance. Not saying that's what happened to Adam Ronis. He's still a very talented player. But sometimes I think these industry expert leagues, they're looked at, they're leagues, yes, but they're more so drafts and events and things like that. So I get where you're coming from. And maybe, but I still think in the high stakes field that you have a lot of guys that drop out of these leagues too, because just because $1,400 is something, you know, some people may not value $1,400 as a lot of money. I was in Vegas last year. This dude came to the draft table lit, hammered. And I'm talking about, I'm like, picks terrible. South Philly Hustlers.
Don't talk about me like that, Corey.
No, it wasn't you. You wasn't in Vegas last year. So I miss you out of that one. So I think, you know, I think you can look at it both ways. You know what I mean? So, and then I kind of feel like the expert leagues are put out there a little bit more, get a little bit more attention. So, and then with the must-see TV, is that still a partnership or is that something that you're doing by yourself now?
Yeah, no, that's my own thing now.
Okay.
When I partnered with Dave Hubbard and Nelson Sousa, we were must-see TV. And so I just attacked on 314 at the end since I'm from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that differentiates that now. That's right.
How do you think if you was to get in one of these industry expert leagues, you think obviously you're a confident guy, you think you could take down the field, but do you think it would be, I almost kind of feel like you think it would be easy to take one of those leagues?
Yeah, I'm not going to come out and say it would be easy because it's still a league filled with guys that that still, the majority of them I feel like to compete, and that's where I am. If you put me in any league and I can't help it, man. I'll compete the whole season.
Yeah, your name's
on it. I'll grind it. That's just how I go. So, yeah, but you put me in there, I mean, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get somebody that competes all year and will grind it out, and, you know, however it goes, it goes. But I'll be there in there all year.
Well, Derek, Vegas is coming up. I'm excited to hang out, have some drinks with you, and do some drafts, do some auctions. It should be a good time.
Oh yeah, man! Can't wait. I'll be out there the second weekend for a good chunk of time. So let's do it up. Just stay off Waino in those drafts.
Yeah, no, I got to give you credit on that one. You brought him to my attention, and I've been doing some deep diving on him, checking him out.
You're in Waino. Is this the deal here?
I'm getting interested.
Derek, why should we be interested in Adam Wynn right here?
You know, he's one of those guys. I mean, there's other examples as well, but he's a guy that I've been taking a lot this year where he's going. I just think of he's a very competitive guy. You look at a lot of those pitchers that reach those age, the age where he's 35 now or whatever, but coming off a real big down year, he's basically free in draft. He's been just a stud pitcher his entire career, and I think he has a couple more good years in him, and I think he has a real good chance to return value at that spot in the draft boards right now. And he's got his curveball back. He's got a bunch of strikeouts on it in spring. He's looked pretty good, so why not take a shot?
Do you know him?
Not too much. I play in his
big league impact
fantasy football. He runs a fantasy, big league impact stuff. They do a fantasy football draft every year for charity, and you get to play with the ball players. It's in a bunch of cities, so yeah. that's a good time. And so I know him a little bit from that. But other than that, I mean, just a good dude, very competitive. You know, I just wouldn't doubt people like that.
I agree. The curveball's back, and I'm getting excited about what I was reading up on the changeup.
Yeah, he's got a new changeup that he's thrown it a bunch this spring. So, you know, there's another weapon to keep guys off balance. You know, kind of a similar guy, Waka. He's thrown all his pitches this spring, too. Looks good. We'll see if he can last the whole season, but he's another guy to keep your eye on.
Yeah, this is a big make or break for Michael Waka. I think he's going to try and take every advantage of the opportunity given now.
There you go. The Cardinals pitchers got to keep an eye on it. Luke Weaver, too. Weaver, Wainwright, and Waka. Three guys that you may want to get in on at some point.
Before we let you go, DP, I see this tweet on March 7th. Your Twitter is very interesting. You kind of pick a little beef with people and stuff like that.
Certainly with us.
Yeah. I see the one on March 7th where you talk about Darvish being terrible and he should be way lower in season-long drafts. Is there a reason why you think that? Because Darvish is a guy that the expert community is really in on this year.
Oh, that was I was being facetious because okay. I was hoping he'd drop further.
Yeah, Derek's got Darvish on many teams like myself.
Yeah, I'm about to say, everybody likes Darvish. We own Darvish, you know what I mean? So, yeah, going back and forth with our boy Tim Roto-X, Tim McCullough, a little bit. What was your beef with him?
Yeah, I mean, I did because that article that he wrote about second base, in my mind, it made it feel like if you don't get one of those top guys, then essentially you're punting the position, and that's how I read that article. Mm-hmm. I think he maybe geared it towards a foundation player more, but still, I mean, he mentions Ryan Schimpf as a deep sleeper and Devin Travis as a sleeper when you've got guys like Logan Forsythe, Josh Harrison. I like Josh Harrison for speed and average play.
I got Josh Harrison in Cowboys.
Forsythe's going, he's the guy that needed to be talked about there. And Neil Walker, guys like that that you can get late that still can fill a need. And it's really about team construction. It's not just blindly about
picking players,
Schimpf late. Right. And that was kind of my thing that I wish you would have touched on more. And, that was the only thing I had, for the folks and making them think about it.
No, I appreciate, keeping the industry accountable. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's what I do. I mean, yeah, my Twitter account is fairly active, and I enjoy mixing it up with folks. And, you know, they give their opinions, and I give mine, but it's all in good fun. And
yeah, no doubt.
Trying to improve what's getting out there these days.
Derek Pearson, follow him at MustSeeTV 314. And, of course, take a look at all the drafts he does. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And he's somebody you definitely want to follow as you get ready for your fantasy baseball drafts. Derek, thanks so much, man.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Talk to you later. Good luck in March Madness.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Take care, my man.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Maddie about Jason Kipnis, as well as some of these other pitchers that pitched yesterday, including Luis Severino, the New York Yankees. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on right after this. Much like the Rockies. I feel bad starting segment off saying the Indians. They can't stay healthy. And we have Carlos Carrasco. The Jason Kipnis got shut down. And we kind of assumed that everything would be fine, Matt. But, like, quite the opposite. Like, everything, like, started good, and not a big deal, and then it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And then he got shut down. No, I'm fine. If it was a regular season, I'd be playing. It's no big deal. Now he's getting a second opinion. Should we be worried?
I think we should be very worried, and it's kind of a shame. Kipnis had 23 homers, 15 stolen bases. I put a tweet out, I think, 2 days ago, and pretty much the other players to meet that criteria last season, there were 10 guys. It was like Brian Dozier, Mookie Betts, Ryan Braun, Mike Trout, Charlie Blackman, Will Myers, Paul Goldschmidt, Bryce Harper, and Altuve. So just look at the company that he was in. So that's a major blow for Cleveland. I was never buying that early on in spring training when they said, nah, it's no big deal. He's just going to take a couple of days rest here and there. And like I said, they tried him at DH. He felt pain. And with the shoulder, this is not good news. I wonder, you know, I'm going to be waiting on these results and stuff. It seems like he's going to be out for a while. And that's a major blow, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jason Kipnis, of course, one of the better second basemen in baseball. And the shoulder injury went from really not a big deal to a monster deal. And there's definitely very, very little chance you could just take it with confidence right now. You got to turn your mic on, man.
Mic is on, Greg.
Now it is.
At least, second base is deep.
That's two things. Second base is deep. At least we're getting the information now.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Know. So you don't have to, you're not out
at least, end. Like, you know, Cleveland wasn't, like, holding him out, and then, like, a week before spring training.
He has a broken shoulder.
And you just took him high, and you're like.
I think they do that to us on purpose sometimes.
Probably.
I really honestly do.
Looking at the Yankees rotation, we talked about the bottom of the Cubs rotation. What about the bottom of the Yankees rotation, where Luis Severino pitched 3 innings yesterday, let a run. Hasn't looked all that good in spring training. Can you buy Severino?
I mean, he's the elite reserve round at best right now. He's more of a watch guy for me. I think the Yankees are going to give him every opportunity to succeed, every opportunity in that rotation. He should get every opportunity, especially the state of the Yankees right now.
Agree with that, but should we give him an opportunity?
I mean, there's a lot of guys I do like late, like in... We talked earlier. I'm Mike Montgomery. I'm taking over Luis Severino.
Even though he's not guaranteed a rotation spot.
Yeah, because I think eventually it's going to be Mike Montgomery. From what I heard before the spring training even broke, what I heard from the hot stove talk or whatever, went through meetings, pretty much, I believe it was Joe Maddon that said, we got Mike Montgomery and... basically for the reason that he was going to be the fifth starter this year. So they had no expectations on re-signing Jason Hamill, which I totally agree with. Not that Jason Hamill is garbage or nothing, but, you know.
You can call him garbage if you want.
To move on, get a guy like Montgomery who had pedigree, became very successful in the bullpen, and we've seen this. I mean, look at Danny Duffy. He went to the bullpen. Sometimes you got to get straightened out there. I mean, when I was growing up watching baseball, when pitchers came up, starters, they went to the bullpen. And that's in, you know, that was how they first came up. They pitched in the bullpen. Then, say, you know, later on that year or the following year, became starters.
They come in the rotation a little bit later on.
They got their feet wet. Earl Weaver was famous for that. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I think a lot of the things they do today is wrong, is backwards. And I think they're
big. These guys are getting big money now. So it's like, you got to listen to me. You got to do it, kid.
Yeah, it's big, but look, they're giving all these guys big money, and they're all getting hurt anyway. So what they're doing isn't right.
Let me ask you, can you, have we talked about the removal of the UCL, like, before it's even a problem?
I mean, I don't like them, I don't like when, from what I was hearing maybe last year, like, high school kids or little kids
having Tommy John surgery beforehand.
Yeah, beforehand. Yeah. Kind of like preemptive Tommy John surgery. Course,
I mean, I do believe, too, even if you get Tommy John, there's a very good chance, like, I figure I think it might have been a Fangraphs thing, something like 4 years after that, you're more susceptible to that injury again or something like that. I don't have all the facts, so don't, like, you know, quote me on this, but it was a very interesting article. And, like, guys like Jordan Zimmermann, I remember last year, he was a guy that was targeted to be injured again. Obviously, it wasn't the elbow. It was the neck, whatever happened to him there. But, you know, you just got to be careful. Just because the guy had Tommy John surgery doesn't mean
he's out the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I totally agree with that.
I would cry if I had to have Tommy John surgery twice.
There's a lot, and I hate to say it, there's a lot of pitchers that happens to now. A lot of pitchers.
And there's not everybody that comes right back. I mean, just look at Zach Wheeler.
Cried too.
Absolutely. Zach Wheeler had a...
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
See, that's so sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. You lose 2 years because of Tommy John surgery. So maybe you should have your UCL removed.
Let's talk about two of these young pitchers here. In Jonathan Gray and Sean Manaea. I'll start with Gray.
That's my guy.
Is he your guy?
I got him in Top Wars.
3 2/3 scoreless innings, allowed one hit yesterday against
balling.
The A's. He did walk three guys, but he struck out a whole bunch. I think he struck out like six. Now, he's going to be in the rotation for Colorado. Hell, he's probably the opening day starter for the Rockies, given some of the injuries they've had, and given that his prospect status. A lot of people like, obviously yourself included, Corey, they like John Gray this year. For me, it's very, very tough to get behind John Gray where he's getting drafted. He plays in Colorado, and I feel like more often than not, I don't want to start guys in Colorado. So why do I want to get in on a guy that pitches his home games in Colorado at his draft spot? I know what he did last year. Can that sustain? Is that why you took him, Corey?
Yeah, I took the strikeout per inning, and the fact that, you know, he does pitch. Even though it's Colorado, he has done well in Colorado. So I think he's an up-and-coming player. I'm satisfied with him. And I don't think he's going later on, obviously, in drafts, but I think he can present a value.
Well, I'll break it down like this. John Gray, I think, is 200 innings, 200 strikeouts this year. I'm very big on John Gray. Maybe I'm at times a little too high on John Gray. Remember my first draft in first pitch Arizona? I think I took him in the 10th round. That was maybe a little too aggressive.
Too aggressive, yeah. But yeah, that's the first. That's like your first
one,
right?
You know, he succeeded last year at Coors, and he didn't have such a great road. He was pretty much, I mean, at Coors last year, he had a 10 K per nine and an under 2 walks per nine. That's fantastic. The kid has the stuff. He was the number three pick?
Around there, yep.
So, I mean, this is a kid that he has the stuff. I mean, if you watch him, I mean, as a rookie, just under 27% strikeout rate. And he's going, say, right next to like a Jake Odorizzi. I want John Gray every time. I think John Gray is a guy, if he's like your number four, I'm pretty excited. I know Coors Field is
daunting.
House of Horrors, daunting, as Corey says. But I just think this kid's going to get much better on the road this year. It's his second season in the league. He's got that under his belt now. And if he can continue to succeed at Coors, where he pitched, if you really look at his Coors numbers, it's so damn impressive. So, I mean, this is a power arm. This guy is the ace of Colorado. That Colorado needs more pitchers like John Gray.
So you think that means, given what you're telling me, the success will sustain? That like that ratio, that walk to K ratio, which you are so big on, you've talked about it every day you're here, is just how important that number is to you. With Jonathan Gray, despite pitching Colorado, the majority of his games, his home games, obviously, in Colorado, where nobody wants any pitcher. I haven't wanted a pitcher on Colorado since Ubaldo Jimenez went 11-2 with a 2 ERA 10 years ago.
Remember that?
And even in Ubaldo's great year, I mean, besides the ERA, you got to look past the ERA, but every other metric to measure their performance, John Gray pitched better than Ubaldo Jimenez.
So you're in on John Gray.
Oh, I am definitely in. I have him right now, I think, 36th overall. And my bold prediction this season would be John Gray finishes as a top 20 pitcher.
There you go.
All right, I like that.
We'll take our final break of the morning. A couple more spring training notes to get to, including Sean Manaea, Rich Hill as well, someone that we've spoken a lot about here on the show. Kind of getting roughed up in the spring, but we'll see if that matters at all to Matt Modica. OGs are next. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final couple minutes here, Roto Experts in the Morning. A couple more pitches we want to get to, as I said.
Getting chilly.
Yeah, it is getting cold in here. Yeah. Sean Manaea, someone that's probably going to start opening day now all of a sudden for the A's. We talked about Jarrell Cotton. We talked about Sean Manaea. Yesterday, Manaea, a lot of seven hits, but didn't allow a run. All seven hits were single. He's going to start, like I said, around opening day. 25 years old. Corey, you know Sean Manaea?
Oh, yeah, Sean Manaea, he's a pitcher out there in Oakland. So I think Sean Manaea, player going a little bit later on in drafts, but I like the range where he's going in. I need to look up some stuff on Sean Manaea because I want to talk about him right quick because I saw something interesting. I can't find his damn name now. Well, I was zipping up my hoodie. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, I mean, Sean Manaea is very intriguing. He came up, he got hurt, went on the DL, came back, and his second half was really impressive. He's got that under his belt now. I got to see him, not this past season, the year before, in the Arizona Fall League. I was very impressed with the stuff that he had. He was somebody I put on my watch list. He was a target of mine in reserve rounds. And just the Oakland has a lot of interesting names, I'll say. There's three guys, at least. I mean, Cotton, Triggs, and Manaea.
Which you spoke about, of course, last week, all of injured. Now, Rich Hill went almost four innings yesterday. No runs, one hit. But he walked a whole bunch of guys. Any concern there?
I mean, I'm not that concerned. One of the reasons I'll say is because, as we mentioned earlier in an earlier segment about being in Arizona with the air, with the grip. Sometimes his curveball is his
bread and butter.
That's the bread and butter. So if he's having problems gripping it out there, and he's not getting the breaks in Arizona. That's going to be a major red flag for him. I'm not going to hold it against him. He's still got a couple of weeks. I mean, if he's walking everybody, and it's still spring training, and he's a guy that over the last year plus, you want to say, he's just been so damn good when pitching in real games that I'm going to give him a little slack for now.
He's 37 years old, and I'm looking at some of his numbers. It seemed like he's pitching a lot of simulated games.
he was pitching a lot of independent league baseball. I mean, hell of a story.
No doubt. And I see he had the big resurgence last year. Obviously, the curveball was the key to that, so it's intriguing. They got him down here as the Dodgers' number two starter. So, but Rich Hill is getting up there in age.
Yeah, he's old. He's an old man.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
That's okay, though.
Veteran.
What about a guy we haven't spoken about? Like, talk about during the break, like, that type of colors climbing up draft boards. Matt Boyd's also a name that I feel like
name?
Matt Boyd is his name. He pitches for the Detroit Tigers. He's going to be their fifth starter because Adam Sanchez sucks. And Matt Boyd, yesterday, five innings, shutout ball, struck out of five guys. And although, his ERA had been pretty high, people seem to be gaining some steam on Matt Boyd. In standard 12-team mixed leagues, are you getting in on Matt Boyd?
I don't know. I don't know if in a 12-team and maybe at the very last couple of rounds. I'm more of a Daniel Norris guy.
Okay. I love Daniel Norris.
I think Daniel Norris takes that big step this year.
Kind of lefty.
It's all been about health with him. He's a kind of eccentric character, living down by the river and stuff. He had the cancer. I mean, he beat cancer. So,
good
I mean,
for him.
To that. So this is a kid that, as we've seen in the second half last year, put up some impressive numbers. I do like Matt Boyd. I mean, I like what the Tigers. I like the fact that the Tigers did not sell this offseason.
Yeah.
Because that lineup is stacked. And Justin Verlander.
Team?
I'm sorry?
Are they a playoff team?
I think they're a wild card team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, Verlander, I think, is still going to be good. I like Verlander a lot this year.
Fulmer.
And you got Fulmer. He's a guy that I'm not as high as most are on. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. I'm not buying the Fulmer love. I think he's good. I'm not as geeked up or amped up, whatever you want to use. But having Norris, having Boyd, that gives you a nice depth. Anibal Sanchez,
don't be careful.
All things considered, he had a really good career for somebody that shoulder probably should have been done years ago.
Hey, if something happened to Frankie Rodriguez, what do you think their plan would be?
They still got Rondon.
We're still doing this Bruce Rondon thing?
Well, supposedly the sneaky guy, the under the radar guy, is the young guy, Jimenez. What's his name?
I don't remember his name.
Jimenez or something.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm trying to get a
joke. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Don't worry about it.
No. It's Joe Jimenez.
Yes, Joe Jimenez.
See, yeah. There you go. We knew
I'm
it the whole
here
time.
For you, brother.
We knew it the whole time.
way to back that up.
Yeah,
So there you go. On Matt Boyd here. Just another name that I had seen on my radar. Final name we'll talk about today. We've talked about him a lot over the last week, and that's Jacob DeGrom. Another one of these guys Once he's showing his health, everyone all of a sudden is back to supremely confident on Jake DeGrom.
Those discount days are over. I was getting this guy pick 75 and later. And
what's he at now? 35?
Well, he's going to be a top 50. He'll go in the top 50 in the next week or so. He's been moving up that route. I think he's like low 60s ADP now since March 1st.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think Jacob DeGrom was a low-end ace at worst when healthy. He's proven that he's healthy. I mean, he has.
He's an SP1?
He's probably. I got him in the, you know, anywhere from 12 to 14.
Okay.
And I think he could, you know, even outperform that if he pitches. If he gets to that 200, if he can get. The key with him this year is getting to that 190 to 200 range. Of course. I mean, I think he's a hell of a pitcher. I think he pitched very well considering things last year. I don't think he was fully healthy the whole season. So he's a guy that is moving up on the world.
There you go. There you go. Final word from Matt Modica there. Corey, what's going on with the OGs today?
Coming up on the OGs, we're going to continue to talk a little bit of baseball, get some of that stuff out the way, talk some WBC. Also, those players we were talking about yesterday, we'll wrap that up. We'll talk about those. Look at some of the latest signings in the NFL, and, you know, we'll bounce it around, do something, you know, tell some jokes, have some laughs. There you go right there, Greg.
There you go.
We'll have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I'd say we always do.
Yeah, like we always do.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, Matt, hungry. Thanks for hanging out again, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, following, of course, the pregame show of Cincata and Angle. For Corey Parson and Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Hey! Tournament is here, ladies and gentlemen. One more day tomorrow morning. We break it all down for you like only we can on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.